All righty, hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I did see today that Happy Gilmore 2, is going to be released on July 25th on Netflix. That is what I saw today, that Happy Gilmore 2 will be released on July 25th on Netflix. I was reading some of the people that will be making appearances in this movie, and I did not see, I don't know if this is confirmed or not, but I did not see our friend Paige Baranek on it. Now, I thought she would have been great for whoever, I know it was Julie Bowen, but whoever, whatever her character was called in the original Happy Gilmore, I think she would have just done great, especially when it's the Happy Place scene. I thought that would have been a very good spot for Paige Baranek. And when she joined us at Radio Row, I tried to see if she would take the bait on Happy Gilmore, and she just kind of left it very open and kind of up there for interpretation and wouldn't confirm nor deny. And I walked away saying, maybe I'm wrong on that one, but I don't think that she ended up getting casted in the movie, which I think is a terrible miss by Adam Sandler. I think there's only one other egregious omission in this movie, and I'm an Adam Sandler guy, but I just got to call it how it is. He did make a promise to me once, Adam Sandler. Now, this is well over a decade ago. He made a promise to me when I was in high school, and this was at the Dallas Super Bowl. Were you at the Dallas Super Bowl, Samter? This was Packers against the Steelers. There was an ice storm in Dallas. I think it was like 2011 or 2012. You weren't there? Let me tell you, my father and I were in a rent-a-car, and we're driving to Radio Row. There is an ice storm, and Dallas is not used to snow, ice, all that stuff. How you would go to a park, Samter, and you would see dirt get like picked up in a park is what they were using on the highway to try to pick up the snow. It was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Yes, you even gave me a look like, what the heck am I talking about? And then they had to emergency transport snow plows into the state of Texas, into the city of Dallas, to get the snow off the road because they didn't have enough. It's the first time in my life and the only time in my life where my dad turned to me and said, son, I don't know if we're going to survive this one. Because it was a terrible, it was a 10-minute drive, and it was a terrible drive. The car, I thought we were going to skid off the road, and it was just a disaster. But we made it there, obviously.
He said that before you guys arrived at your destination?
It was only a 10-minute drive.
Oh, my goodness.
And like 2 minutes in, he goes, they said this was bad. And we're like, they didn't get any snow. We're New Yorkers. They didn't really get any crazy snow, so it was like an inch. But an inch in Dallas is like a foot of crying out loud. And they were just not equipped for it. But anyway, getting back to Happy Gilmore 2, which from what the internet says, which I hope that's a reliable source, is that Happy Gilmore 2 will be available on Netflix starting July 25th. What do you think the reviews are going to be? Because Sandler, by the way, at that Super Bowl, let me finish the story, he promised me that I would be in a movie. He said, I'm a cute kid at the time. And he goes, I'll let you be in the next movie. And never ended up getting a call. I've seen him since.
I mean, it was like 13, 14 years ago. You've gotten less cute as
a
kid since then.
You promised me a role in a movie. I expect to be in the movie. Now, they were casting extras for this, and there was an application process. I thought about filling one out and going to interview for it. There was like it was too much of a process, and it was like an hour Zoom. And that would have been great shtick. Here, I would have played him a clip. Hey, this is Adam Sandler. You ever heard of him? The Sandman, Happy Gilmore, right? All that stuff. That's him saying I should be in a movie. Maybe they would have given me a role, but no, I'm not. You think Perloff's in that movie?
I don't think so.
Well, the reason I ask it is because
he was in Hustle.
He was in Hustle.
And he had a line in Hustle.
Which, by the way, how outside of Kevin Nagandi, I am one of the biggest stars to come out of Temple University. That sounds like such a douchey thing. That's basically Temple, that movie. How I was not asked to be in that movie. Very offended. But Happy Gilmore 2, how do you think we're going to be talking about it?
Now, Ray, I have high hopes. Okay.
Before you answer, Botcher, have you seen Happy Gilmore?
Yes, I've seen Happy Gilmore.
Oh, Yes.
That's a good one.
You
the
react.
Replacements. Okay, the Replacements versus Happy Gilmore. It's like completely
Santer,
different.
Have you seen the Replacements?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
That the Shane Falco.
Yeah,
of course. Gene Hackman.
Well, we were talking about the whole Gene Hackman situation and his. You weren't here yesterday. That's why you didn't know what we were talking about. We were talking about Gene Hackman's death and how his wife died and the dog died. And they thought it was carbon monoxide at first, and now it's not. And it's how mysterious. And I'm like, I wonder where The Replacements is ranked, because that's one of my favorite movies ever. Just whenever it's on, I just think it's a good watch and it's subjective. And it was like ranked like 55 in just Gene Hackman movies, in just movies that he's appeared in. So it was revealed to me yesterday that Stu and Botcher both haven't seen The Replacements.
I mean, Stu hasn't seen more than three movies in his life, but The Replacements is a fun movie.
It's a classic.
But like from a standpoint of like good acting and great writing and good storytelling,
For me, my point was,
I enjoy it though.
There's a lot of sports movies that people don't think are good movies, like that show Ballers. I said this yesterday. I love the show Ballers because it was a sport entourage. Most people hated the show Ballers.
I thought it was great.
I loved it. So it doesn't shock me that I love the movie The Replacements, especially when you have one of the offensive linemen throw up in the huddle and they shuffle away because he had too many eggs, and then they're in the jail cell as well. It was just so many good scenes from that movie. Falco, Falco, Falco. So just a wonderful movie. But how do you think Happy Gilmore 2 will be reviewed before even any of us see it?
So here's my concern. Adam Sandler, his best movies of the last 5 to 8 years have been serious movies, or like not his shticky Adam Sandler funny movies.
What was the movie? It was the last movie I saw in movie theaters before I had to get dragged to
Uncut Gems.
Hamilton. Yeah, not Hamilton. Wicked. Wicked. I recently saw Wicked like a few months ago. That was the first time I went back to a movie theater since Uncut Gems. I liked Uncut Gems. I thought that was a good Sandler movie.
It's a great. But what I'm saying is his best movies have been more serious roles, right? He had Hustle, which was a more serious movie.
You think Hustle's a serious movie?
It's not a comedy. Like when I think of Adam Sandler's shticky, like Billy Madison, Waterboy, Big Daddy, Mr.
Water
D's.
Water sucks.
Yeah,
it
like
really,
those really
sucks.
Ridiculous, stupid Adam Sandler movies. The problem is they were so good for a while, right?
I don't need to see serious Sandler.
All those, but serious Sandler is great Sandler. Really good Sandler movies. Spanglish was a really good movie. Anger Management. Some of these good dark comedies.
50 First Dates. Did you like that one?
Yeah, that was one of the more recent ones, but that was a little bit better. But for the most part, he started putting out these like Netflix comedies with all of his buddies, like, you know, Rob Schneider and Kevin James, Grown Ups and Grown Ups 2. They were terrible, and every one of them got worse than the next. And so I worry that as great as Adam Sandler is, that this might just be like a money grab, and it might just be, you know, just a rehash of the old Happy Gilmore.
You know what I think it's going to be?
I hope it's good.
The remake and part two is usually never as good as the original. And to me, it's such a nostalgic, awesome movie for people my age, right? Like, I love Happy Gilmore. I grew up on Happy Gilmore. I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to watch it. And if you didn't watch the first one, or if the first one wasn't like your era, people are gonna be like, all this hype for this movie and it sucked. I think people like me will like it. I think there's gonna be a lot of people that be like, it was a 5.5, 6.5. Because I like the remake of that. I'm just curious to see how it is. I think I will enjoy it, but I think nationally it's gonna just get shredded.
I think you're gonna have to use a little bit of the nostalgia, but create something new and different. Obviously, Carl Weathers past, so you can't, so maybe you can build something around that, and maybe Happy had like kind of a bad turn. There should be like some sort of a dramatic turn of things where it's nostalgic, but it's different. Now, here's the one thing I will
say. Frances Bay, I had to search who she was. She's obviously long, long gone.
Yes.
She played the Happy Gilmore grandmother. She died in 2011.
So there's so many different things that he could play off of.
She was a great character.
Yeah, and like, you know, you could play off of a lot of different things, whether Shooter McGavin becomes a good guy. Who knows?
Shooter.
But the one thing I will say is Adam Sandler's been all over the award shows the past couple, right? The Golden Globes, he did the Chalamet.
What was the last one?
The Oscars, where
Oscars.
Conan O'Brien had him all dressed up. He's like, Conan, what are you doing? And then he went back, he
shorts
did the
and a
Chalamet.
T-shirt. He was in shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah. So
the last time I saw The Sandman, I was at a friend's rehearsal dinner. I think the steakhouse is called Hendrick's on Long Island. And my friend said, Adam Sandler just walked in to the restaurant. And I'm like, no way. And I'm going to be, if I was sober, I would not have gone up to him. I had a few pops, rehearsal dinner. And my friend said he's in shorts and a t-shirt. Shorts and a, I go, oh, it's definitely him. So everyone went back to the hotel that people were staying at. And I told him, I'll be out in a few minutes. I ended up seeing Sandler. I walked up to him. I talked to him for like 20, 25 minutes. And then I walked out. No one was there. Everyone went back to the hotel. And then there is, so I got an Uber, went to the, there was like an after party after the rehearsal dinner, like a welcome for people that weren't invited to the rehearsal, like a kind of like welcome drinks. And everyone was waiting for me to come up. Did you meet? Like, obviously. And we ended up taking a picture, and it was like right at the, like when you first started to be able to get out of the house for COVID and go to restaurants. So like we both had like the masks on. Because I don't think I had a mask on at the time. And neither did he. And he's like, hey, like we got to put the masks on for the picture. Because that was like, if you weren't wearing a mask back then, you know, everyone would shame you. So that was the last time I saw the Sandman. But no, have not been asked to be in this movie. Very disappointed, by the way. I think it's the biggest miss of his career.
Now, what would your role be in an Adam Sandler golf movie? Would you be a golfer,
you know,
a caddy?
I could be? In Happy Gilmore, I don't know the name of the character. The large guy that the ball goes on his foot. Hey, Gilmore! Or McGavin, whatever. I think I would be a great, large, intimidating character in that movie.
Mr. Larson. You could be Mr. Larson's son. Mr. Larson, you know, maybe he tragically passed away. You take on the role. The ball hits your foot. Hey, Gilmore! You hit my dad, now you hit me too.
Right? Like, I think I would be very good in that movie. So that would be my role, I would say. That would be the
Mr. Instance. Larson beat the crap out of Shooter McGavin. That was great.
Oh, yeah. That was great when they're all running up. That's Gilmore's jacket. I think the movie is going to get just ripped to shreds. But I think people like you and I are going to really enjoy it. Anyway, let me get off of Happy Gilmore and get to what we were supposed to talk about this segment. And that was Brock Purdy. So I saw Jason LaConfora. Is he still in the breaking news business? I know he does a talk show. And I like LaConfora. He used to come on a ton, but now he does afternoons in Baltimore, so we do afternoons nationally. It's not just conducive for him to come on. And I always liked him as a guest. Even if the information wasn't right, he was always opinionated. So I always liked the opinions of Jason LaConfora. But he said that he heard that the Niners initially offered Brock Purdy $45 million a year. Now, I know what people are going to do. They're going to hear that, and they're going to be like, Brock Purdy, who the heck does this guy think he is? But Brock Purdy is in that interesting spot where he's been good the last 2 years. No one thinks he's great, but what are the Niners going to do if they move off of him? With the team that has a limited window, but they still have enough talent, we'll see who's that wide receiver because Debo already got traded, and there's still a chance that Brandon Ayuk is going to get traded. But you look at where $45 million a year would put Brock Purdy. Kyler Murray makes more. Jalen Hurts makes more. I'm just giving the guys that make more. I'm not saying that it's crazy. Like Jalen Hurts making $51 million a year. That's a great deal. Lamar Jackson makes 52. Justin Herbert makes 52. Jared Goff makes 53. Tua Tagovailoa makes 53.1. Trevor Lawrence makes 55. Jordan Love makes 55. Joe Burrow makes 55. Dak Prescott makes 60. So like I'm looking at this, especially in the top five, Dak, Joe Burrow, Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence, Tua. There's only like one guy in the top five that I'm comfortably paying that salary to that I feel good about, and that's Joe Burrow. Like, Dak is a fine quarterback, a good quarterback. He's not great. Jordan Love, I got to see more out of him, but I do think he could be a top quarterback one day. Trevor Lawrence has been worth the money so far. Tua Tagovailoa, he showed his importance when he was out, but I don't think he's a great quarterback. So Brock Purdy's going to get more than $45 million a year. I think at the lowest Brock Purdy's going to get is $50 million a year. And that's if he wants to take a discount. But I could see Brock Purdy getting what Trevor Lawrence got, what Jordan Love got, what Tua Tagovailoa got, and what Jared Goff got. And that's in that $53 to $55 million a year range. And Joe Montana joined us at the Super Bowl. Joe Montana! And he said that the Niners have to pay Brock Purdy. And he could show you a lot of guys that make a whole lot more than Brock Purdy, and they haven't done anywhere close to what Brock Purdy done. But with that being said, I don't think there's a quarterback in football this year that will be under more scrutiny than Brock Purdy. Because it goes either one or two ways. One, the Niners don't extend Brock Purdy, and he plays on his current deal. And then this is the ultimate prove-it year for Brock Purdy when he doesn't have Debo anymore, McCaffrey's coming off an injury, and they may trade Brandon Ayuk. So this is the ultimate prove-it type of season, show your worth to Brock Purdy if he doesn't get a deal done. But even if he does get a deal done, then I think the scrutiny intensifies even more because I don't think the number is going to be like, yeah, it makes sense for both sides. I think this is going to be eventually a pro-Brock Purdy number. And he's going to have a top five salary in the NFL at the quarterback position. And if that's the case, there's more pressure on him, even though he has the financial security. There's more pressure on him because of the fact that he got paid. Some of his talent is no longer there in San Francisco. And then you got to deliver and show that you're one of these top quarterbacks in the league. Samter, I can't even think right now who would be second in terms of quarterbacks under scrutiny this year. And I think that's a very specific way to say, like, scrutiny to me, either way, even if he gets paid or not, Brock Purdy to me, especially with the season that the Niners just had, I think is the quarterback that is easily under the most scrutiny heading into this season. You got a quarterback there that you want to throw into the mix? Just wondering.
I mean, are we taking the salary part out of it? I mean, you look at Trevor Lawrence and like what they haven't accomplished in Jacksonville.
Well, that's even the salary in it.
Yeah.
Like he got paid, but now you're bringing in Liam Cohen. You got to start to move in the right direction.
Another one you could say.
But still, I don't think Trevor Lawrence pops as nationally as Brock Purdy does in this conversation. It's
no,
not a bad suggestion.
No, that's true. And this guy doesn't pop either nationally. But Anthony Richardson, a lot of scrutiny like for his job. Not just for, you know, what? Not for a contract necessarily.
But I don't think they believe in him. I think that was showed last year. I do think he'll be their starter this year, but I do think the Colts will make a move in free agency to bring in some legitimate competition that you could usurp him at some point this year. You know, I'm going through it. It's like, you also look at it as how many of these guys do we always also think like we know about them? Like, I'm not going to put Dak in there. I'm not going to put two in there because I know what those guys are. They're good quarterbacks. You could do a lot worse if you elected to move on, but neither of those guys are going to end up winning. You know, Justin Herbert, I think there's scrutiny on Justin Herbert. Now, Harbaugh keeps on speaking glowingly about him. I think he's a good quarterback, but you got to go win a playoff game. You know, there's not scrutiny on Bo Nix. He just had a wonderful season. If there's some regression, so be it. You know, there's pressure on Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson to get it done, but those are two of the top three quarterbacks in football right now. Jordan Love, I think there could be some scrutiny.
Could you say there's scrutiny on Jared Goff? I mean, he does it in the regular season, but they fell. I mean, they choked 2 years ago. They fell real short this year, and he did not have a good game.
So if Jared Goff, let's say, stinks up the joint again, they still have him under contract through 2028. So there's, like, scrutiny, but can there be any change there? I don't think there will be. So those are some quarterbacks that we throw out there. Let's go to Anthony in Myrtle Beach. He wants to chime in on a potential role for me in Happy Gilmore 2. Is that right, Ant? What's shaking?
Listen, Zach, the best character you can play is yourself. You can go out there, just do a little shameless plug for the show, do a little interview. You can even be the villain and get under his skin and you doubt him. I mean, the best role is yourself. You got a great personality. Why would you want to be a fictitious character? And the best Adam Sandler movie, by all means, is The Wedding Singer. Come on. Yo, Lady Payton, Meatballs. Who wouldn't love that?
The Wedding Singer is a movie that I like. What's your favorite?
I love that movie. That's my favorite Adam Sandler movie.
So that's your favorite one. Samter, what's your favorite Adam Sandler movie? I'm sure I have this list out there somewhere. I have not done an Adam Sandler best movie list in a long time. But what's your favorite movie if you had to go?
It's not even a question. It's Billy Madison. It's an oldie but a goodie, and a lot have come along that have been really good. Waterboy is right up there. Wedding Singer is certainly in the top five. Obviously, Happy Gilmore. But for me, Billy Madison is the OG. That, to me, is the best.
Botcher, do you have a favorite Adam Sandler movie? You're going to tell me who's Adam Sandler.
No, it was Happy Gilmore. Big fan of Grown Ups, though, because I was younger when it came out. That's a good movie.
What are you going to say, Click next?
Oh. No, but Click is a great movie, but it's not funny. It makes you cry.
Man, you know what? I got to think about this. I'll give you my answer on the other side. Plus, I will give you some player predictions for next year in NFL free agency. Back with more after this.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Alrighty, I just did it during the break. Little quick hot take. My five favorite Adam Sandler movies. Number five, The Wedding Singer. Number four, I ended up going with Happy Gilmore. Three, I'm going with Mr. Deeds. And Samter is 100% right. When I said Mr. Deeds, Samter immediately goes, "I like to change your socks." It's a hilarious movie. Two, Billy Madison, Veronica Vaughn, hello. And then in at number one, I think it's The Waterboy.
Bobby Boucher and his daddy on the ESPN.
So those are my five favorite Adam Sandler movies. But you're right, Samter. I'm going through some of these rankings. You almost forget how many movies he's in. And then the comedies are the best, but then there's so many serious movies that just blow past the ones that I ended up ranking there, Mike. It's wild.
And his serious movie, he's like, say what you will about Adam Sandler, he's a good actor. He's a very good actor.
Hot take.
Yeah. No, but what I mean is, like, he's like a legitimately talented, potential Oscar-winning actor down the road. But like 20 years ago, you never... Billy Madison, the guy whose shampoo is better. I go on first and clean the hair. There's no way you thought that guy could be like a serious, legitimate actor.
So on Rotten Tomatoes, his first movie, highest ranked movie, is Hustle. And then the third is Uncut Gems. Like, don't get me wrong, I like both those movies. Wedding Singer's at six. Happy Gilmore's at 10. I'm just trying to see like where I ranked them and then where they are in some of his all-time movies. Billy Madison is 21st. Like, how are there 20 movies better than Billy Madison in terms of just saying, like, oh, you know what? I have a change. So I'm moving Wedding Singer out of the top five. It would fall to six for me. Big Daddy. I love Big Daddy. So Big Daddy would be in at five, Happy Gilmore four, Mr. Deeds three, Billy Madison two, and Waterboy in at one. You Don't Mess with the Zohan is this 23rd best, like, solid movie. Click is 25. The Waterboy is 27. Longest Yard, which I like, is 28. How are there 26 Sandler movies better than The Waterboy? That I don't understand whatsoever.
I mean, listen, Rotten Tomatoes, you're talking about people
Mr.
who...
Mr. Deeds is 33!
It's like a critic thing. It's like a critic thing. At the end of the day, like, critics aren't going to like The Waterboy. Mm-hmm. Fans are going to like The Waterboy. Critics are going to like Uncut Gems.
Yeah, did something go on big in the sports world, just wondering right now? Anything just going big in the sports world?
A couple hours ago, Dak Prescott restructured his contract.
No, I'm just trying to... Stu just texted us with an eyeball emoji and nothing else. So that means either we're getting fired or something big happened in the sports world.
No, he's sending me a picture. It looks like it's Pizzeria Bianco.
Oh! That didn't load yet on my screen and it just did. All I got were eyes from Stu, and Stu's on vacation. By the way, Stu got a mushroom pie? I know Stu likes the shrooms, but in terms of mushrooms on a pizza, I'm out on that.
Looks like onions. No, I don't know if that's... maybe that's
definitely mushrooms.
It's sausage.
It's a brown fungi. What else would you call them?
It looks like a goat cheese, sausage, mushroom, and onion.
Yeah.
That's too much.
No. The sausage, the onion, the goat cheese is good. I can't do mushrooms.
I can't do more than like two.
We got three pizzas when we went there. I forgot what we got, but we got three pizzas, and you had a friend with you. It was absolutely delicious. Absolutely delicious. So wonderful stuff. Anyway, what we will do right now is I will make some predictions for NFL free agency. With that right upon us, getting going next week. I had Zach Bond going to the Eagles and re-signing with the Eagles, and that has already happened. So that's the one that I have to take off this list.
One for one.
Yeah, you know what? I can keep that for my percentage. I did my quarterback rankings, right? I did QB rankings 1.0, and I don't think we've done one since. So I got a tweet when I was on vacation. It was like, none of these are going to be right. And I didn't respond to it. And then moments later, Matthew Stafford back to the Rams. And I'm like, the rest of them may not be right, but Stafford was right. So my initial quarterback predictions, just found it. Rodgers to the Steelers, Kirk Cousins to the Browns, Matthew Stafford to the Rams, Russell Wilson to the Colts, Justin Fields to the Jets, and Sam Darnold to the Raiders. So we'll see if any of those are going to end up changing. Now, Kirk Cousins, I'll take him off the board just because he's technically not available because he's still a part of the Atlanta Falcons. So, player number one, Davante Adams. I think he's going to get, he's going to sign with the Chargers. I think Davante Adams, right, Harbaugh needs another receiver to complement Ladd McConkey. I think he would sign an older player. Davante Adams gets to go back to the West Coast. I could see Davante Adams with Justin Herbert being a match. Two, Aaron Rodgers. Well, that means I have to then put him on the Chargers, right? And then the Chargers are trading Justin Herbert if Davante Adams is on the Chargers. I'm hoping that Davante Adams listens. Like, go somewhere else. Go somewhere that is not with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, I actually have him signing with the Giants. I haven't thought that until today. I haven't really entertained it until today when everyone else has been talking about it. I just think it's going to happen because I think Joe Shane's going to need a move that you get somebody in now, and trading up to the draft, it still could happen, but I think it will take a little bit longer in that process. Stephon Diggs. I think Stephon Diggs may have to take like a one-year deal coming off the injury, getting up there in age. There's a chance he goes back to the Texans, but I have Stephon Diggs going to the Cowboys. They could use a number two wide receiver to complement CeeDee Lamb. Trayvon Diggs, his brother, is there. I could see Stephon Diggs winding up with the drama Dallas choking Cowboys. Justin Fields. I'm going Mark Caboli and what he told us last week. I think Justin Fields somehow, someway, is going to be option number one for the Steelers. If I was running the Steelers, I would go Rodgers one, Darnold two, then Justin Fields three. But I think they're going to find a way to ink Justin Fields to a new contract. Javon Holland, where is he going to land? I thought Minnesota potentially, Flores connection there, but I'm going to say the Indianapolis Colts. They need a safety, Javon Holland to the Indianapolis Colts. Sam Darnold, I have him going to the Raiders, and I think they line him up with the three-year contract, Pete Carroll on a three-year contract. They kind of walk hand-in-hand for the last chapter of Pete Carroll's run in the NFL, and he'll one day be in Canton, Ohio. Josh Sweat, I saw the Eagles brought back Zach Bond today. They also got a new deal done with Saquon Barkley yesterday that we talked about. I think Josh Sweat is as good as gone, and I believe he's going out to the desert where he gets some Pizza Bianco, and he'll be signing with the Arizona Cardinals. Remember, Jonathan Gannon, former Eagles defensive coordinator, now the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals for the last 2 years. So I have Josh Sweat now sweating in the desert with the Arizona Cardinals. Russell Wilson. I'm still going Indianapolis. I think he goes to Indy, a spot where he doesn't fear Anthony Richardson. Richardson could get hurt, or Russell Wilson could just be better. And he knows, hey, they don't even love, Shane Steichen doesn't love Anthony Richardson to begin with. So I think Russ at this stage of his career has to go to a spot where he's going to compete. And I think that spot will be Indianapolis. Tampa Bay. I believe Chris Godwin's going to re-sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers so they are able to keep their guy along with Mike Evans, and you also have Baker Mayfield there. And then the last one, Ronnie Stanley. I think the Patriots are going to be aggressive for a tackle. So I have Ronnie Stanley going to the Patriots. So Davante Adams to the Chargers, Aaron Rodgers to the Giants, Stephon Diggs to the Cowboys, Justin Fields to the Steelers staying there, Javon Holland to the Colts, Sam Darnold to the Raiders, Josh Sweat to the Cardinals, Russell Wilson to the Colts, Chris Godwin staying in Tampa Bay, and then Ronnie Stanley with the Patriots. Dexter Henry is here. One thing before I ask you about who you think is going to be the quarterback of your Steelers come week one of 2025, Happy Gilmore 2. Are you excited for this to come out in the summer or no?
Yeah.
Did you like Happy Gilmore the original?
Yeah, solid.
Okay.
Solid.
What's your favorite Sandler movie? Just wondering.
Oh.
I just did my top five. And I'm
favorite Sandler movie. Waterboy is up there.
That was my number one, yeah.
Yeah, probably number one for me.
So I did Waterboy 1, Billy Madison 2, Mr. Deeds 3, Happy Gilmore 4, Big Daddy in at 5, and then I thought about The Wedding Singer 2.
Wedding Singer is a good one. I would say that I think we have the same top two.
Yeah.
Billy Madison would be a close second for me.
Okay, now to the big answer on the question that I asked you an hour ago. You're a Steelers fan.
Yep.
You're kind of stuck right in the middle where you're not horrible, but you're not great.
Yep.
You get into the postseason. You don't win any games. You can't even win a game. Forget games, just a game.
Can't win a game.
Haven't done that since the 2016 season, but who's counting? quarterback for the Steelers in the post-Big Ben era, it's been rough. We've seen Mason Rudolph. We've seen Duck Hodges. We've seen Kenny Pickett. We have seen Russell Wilson. We have seen Justin Fields. You could see Fields or Wilson again next year. Who do you think starting week one for the Steelers come 2025?
I think it's Fields.
So do I.
I just heard you say it when I walked in. I think it's Fields. I think it makes sense. I think it's the right thing to do. He played decently well through the first six games of the season. Now,
that's a tough sell for me. You're bringing him back to start where last year when he was winning games, that's the original hesitation that I had. So why would you then sit him down and then make him the starting quarterback next year?
So because I think you saw that Russell Wilson, right? You saw the limitations of Russell Wilson, which I think even you would acknowledge.
Hold on. I thought he was Mr. Unlimited.
Who said this?
Russell Wilson.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Mr. Unlimited. Like, yeah.
No, he's limited. He's got limitations. Guys, he's got limitations. I think you saw that with him. Now, was he able to get the ball better down the field than Justin Fields?
Sure.
Yes. But here was the thing. We saw that Arthur Smith kind of have the kid gloves on Justin Fields, and maybe he takes a little bit of it off. He brings him a new dynamic. I think paying Justin Fields on maybe a 2-year deal with an opt out for him, I don't think that's bad. The Steelers still need to find a quarterback in the future. I don't know. It could be Justin Fields. I don't know.
So I gave a 3-step plan yesterday for the Steelers.
Ooh, I want to hear this.
And this was the order.
Yeah.
One, you're not going to like this by your comment in the last hour. Sign Aaron Rodgers for a year. Stopgap, fine.
Do not like it.
Two, Sam Darnold on a 3-year deal. At least it's calling your shot for someone. And then three, the last resort for me would be Justin Fields.
Would be Justin Fields. So you would go, you have Aaron Rodgers one. That's your top move you'd go.
Yeah. Well, they could win a playoff game with Rodgers this year. They could. And to me, Mike Tomlin has to, A, either find their next franchise quarterback in the next 2 years or win a playoff game. Or I would say, Mike, even though you're a really good coach, it's time to move on. I like Tomlin, too.
I do, too.
Are you fed up with him?
No, I think some of the noise around it has been a little bit much, but there will come a point where it's going to be like, look, it's too
much. Well, the organization's not thinking about it.
No, and I don't think they should be. I think the organization needs to think differently in how they go after players, how they approach the draft. When's the last time the Steelers moved up in the draft? When's the last time they've been aggressive in that regard?
Maybe. Oh, you know what it was for?
Minkah Fitzpatrick.
No, the dude from Michigan, Devin Bush. Remember when they traded up
Devin
for him?
Devin Bush. Yeah, that's right. You're right about that.
And he was a disaster.
Yeah, that didn't turn out well.
He was a great pre-draft interview. It shows you how much all this stuff means nothing. He told me he loves going fishing, except he's never been on a cruise. He never has been on a cruise because he's afraid of boats that way.
But he likes going fishing.
He thinks it was different. I think that was him who told me that.
That is interesting.
But because he said to me, I'm like, oh, have you ever been on a cruise? He's like, no. And then he's like, but I'm a big fisherman. And he goes, I'm afraid of the cruise.
Likes to be on water, just not on big boats.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. I got that. I think it's more organizational. They got to start thinking about that. There's been a lot of money invested in the defense, as you know, Zach. It's time to get better at drafting skill players. Although, listen, they've got some talented ones. George, they have some wide receivers that are nutcases. That's been part of the problem, too. So,
and you still got one in George Pickens.
Yeah, but I do. Yes, you do. That's a problem. But, yes, I do agree with you that they need to find that quarterback that's going to lead this team in the next couple of years. I think 2 years is fair.
Okay.
I think you're being pretty fair there.
And he had a 3-year contract. And, like, you had 3 years left. Mike Tomlin's not a lame duck guy.
No.
So in the next 2 years, I got to see something.
Yeah, and I don't think Tomlin's voice is tired in the locker room. Like that, I don't think. But I think organizationally, they might need to just shake things up a little bit. You know what I mean, man? Like, I just maybe be a little bit more aggressive on certain things, particularly in the draft.
So I have a running document, and it's a Shedeur Sanders predictions.
Oh, man.
Now, we've only done this so far with just the show. So Samter said the Jets. Stu said the Giants. I said the Giants. This was done last week.
Mm-hmm.
Let's add you to it. Where does Shedeur Sanders get drafted by?
I'm with Jets. I think the Jets take him.
You think he's going to be there at 7 and they have to trade up to get him?
What are the picks between the Giants and the Jets again?
So one is Tennessee. Two is Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Three, the Giants. Mm-hmm. Four, the Patriots. Five, Jacksonville. Six, the Raiders. Seven, the Jets.
The Raiders are the team that scares me there.
Yeah, I don't think he gets past six. All this talk about how he's brash and Arab, bunch of bull crap.
I think it's nonsense, too. Mm-hmm. I also think he would fit as a Raider?
Oh, 100%.
Doesn't that seem perfect?
But here's the thing. If you say my quarterback is brash or arrogant, good. Why, I want my quarterback to be an alpha.
Why would you not want him to be?
So you're saying the Jets for him. That'd be fun.
Maybe.
Can I lock you in, or are you going somewhere else?
You got me thinking now. Like, now I'm actually leaning more to the Raiders. Now I'm thinking about that.
So we'll put you on the Raiders?
Yeah, put me on the Raiders. I'm going to go with the Raiders. I don't think he makes it past the Raiders if he's there, unless we think the Raiders are going to do something else here in free agency.
And the only way I think the Raiders, well, Sam Darnold could take him out of the business.
Right.
The only way I don't think he's a Raider is if the Titans end up taking Cam Ward.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Browns pass on Shador, then I think the Giants would take Shador Sanders in at number three. That's why I ended up going with the Giants when this was asked last week.
I understand. Yeah, and I understand.
Last week I thought Cam Ward was going to be the number one overall pick, and now I still think he's going to be the number one overall pick, but I'm kind of starting to think now that the Giants move up to one to get Cam Ward. You know, it's a possibility.
If the Browns pass on a quarterback, too, that to me is...
And Schefter just last week said it's the thing he's most confident in for this draft is the Browns will take a quarterback in the first round.
They need one.
Yeah. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a break. When we come on back, we'll play some KD sound. Also, Charles Davis, who I love, has his latest mock draft out. And this is the first time I'm seeing something predicted. So we will get to what that is when we come on back. Update time first. Here is Dexter Henry.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Alrighty, it's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Excalibur in the YouTube chat says, Zach, what about Tyler Lockett? Where do you think he'll wind up? Because he just got released today by the Seattle Seahawks. You can submit a question by tweeting at INF Sports Center, at Zach Gelb, using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. I think Tyler Lockett's going to reunite with Pete Carroll with the Raiders. That would be my prediction. Right there. Let me play you Kevin Durant. This is last night. He had a little kerfuffle with Mike Budenholzer on the side. Then this is KD after the game.
Yeah, that's what usually happens when you don't know the dynamics of a relationship. You know, you catch something on TV, you get a quote, and now you pushing that narrative as if me and Bud don't do that shit all the time. We competitive as two individuals who want to see things done the right way. And sometimes my way ain't the way that Bud want to do it, and vice versa. And he allows me as a player on the team, a veteran on the team, to voice my opinion. If we both didn't care, we would never have stuff like that. And I'm glad that the win is going to sweep all of that stupid stuff under the rug, because people couldn't wait. Even some people in Phoenix in here couldn't wait to run with that. He understands where I'm coming from. I understand exactly where he's coming from. It's just the people on the outside don't know the dynamics of the relationship. So in order for them to get some attention, they're going to run with stuff like that.
So he's not wrong in what he says. All right, like we saw Travis Kelce and Andy Reid have that incident on the sideline. We've seen great players and coaches have incidents before. But this idea that, like, Kevin Durant is so happy in Phoenix, come on. We could pump the brakes on that. So when we know you're going to get traded at the end of the year and you have an incident with the coach, I understand why the incident could happen. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. But it's always, oh, KD's never in the wrong, and no one could ever understand when something happens with Kevin Durant. But I do get his explanation in that regard. I did see last night LeBron James had 50,000 total points in his career when you factor in the regular season and the postseason. I'm going to be honest, I just don't care about it. I cared about LeBron James passing Kareem for most points in the history of the NBA. Now, every time that list gets greater and greater and greater and you go from the regular season then combine the postseason, that's just too much for me. I will say, I passed up going to the Rangers game tonight. So I was at Madison Square Garden on Monday for Rangers Islanders. I was right behind the Knicks bench last night for Knicks Warriors. I got a text, and a very nice text from Perloff this morning, McMuffin, right? Saying to me, I got great seats tonight. Rangers Caps, you in. He goes, would love to go with you. And I'm like, oh, they're playing Ovechkin and the Capitals. Ovechkin, right, closing in on Wayne Gretzky for the most goals of all time, right, on the big chase. He's 884. He goes, well, he plays up against the Rangers. He get it tonight. But Gretzky is 894. Like, that to me is a record when it gets broken. It's going to be so surreal because no one ever thought anyone ever passed the great one in Wayne Gretzky for the most goals ever. But I just had other plans tonight, so I told Perloff, unfortunately, I couldn't go. So can't go to the Garden three nights in a row. It's a load management night for me, I guess.
Are you saying that Ovechkin's going to score 10 goals tonight?
It's possible with the way that he plays up against the Rangers. It definitely is. And finally, I will leave you on this, and I'll react to it tomorrow. Maybe we'll bring this guy on tomorrow. I'll try. Charles Davis just released his latest mock draft. He has Shedeur Sanders as the number one overall pick to the Tennessee Titans. Has Cam Ward then going two to Cleveland. You thought that would be the reaction, oh, Cam Ward over Shedeur? Then he has the Giants taking Jaxson Dart three. He has three quarterbacks, first three picks, Cam Ward not the first one. So there's a lot to react to. Then he has Abdul Carter four to the Patriots and Travis Hunter falling all the way to fifth to the Jaguars. Mason Graham going sixth to the Raiders. So there's a lot to react to. I will, as the Cowboys taking Ashton Jeanty at 12, Colts getting Tyler Warren at 14, Will Johnson falling all the way to 15 to Atlanta Falcons. So I will go through the rest of this, and I will dissect this tonight, and maybe we'll bring on one of our favorites in Charles Davis. His great job for the NFL Network and CBS when it comes to the draft. We will potentially probably bring him on tomorrow. All righty. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. Big thanks to Botcher. Big thanks to Samter. Big thanks to Dexter Henry, each and every one of you. Ryan Hickey as well for participating, listening, and watching the radio program. We'll be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. Have a great night, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.